The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. In the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you.
Boker Tov, Howard. And Howard, how are you guys doing today?
Yeah, excellent, thank you. Anthony, so if you have any book recommendations, any book that you've read this year, we'd love to have it. We're making a list for Chai FM listeners that, books to take on holiday, books that you highly recommend.
Well, it's nice that everybody's having holiday, and I'll certainly give it some thought. I've got some interesting books that I've come across, so I'll certainly send them through to you, and I'm sure you'll have an opportunity to evaluate them and see if they belong on the reading list for the holiday period.
Absolutely. The other one is the Shimon Peres book, which I actually thought was really excellent. I'm actually taking that with me as well because I want to reread certain parts. All right, but let's just talk about the IDF has been continuing to work in Operation Northern Shield, Israel's border with Lebanon. A third Hezbollah tunnel has now been discovered running under the border into Israel. What more is known about the progress of this operation?
So what we know is that the engineering units of the IDF are extremely busy at the moment, really having a proper look around to see what's going along on that northern border, especially the elite Yahalom special engineering unit, which includes, by the way, some civilian contractors who've also been drafted in to help with the work that's going on. All of the work currently continues to be on the Israeli side of the border. There is a source that has said that they feel that they might be discovering dozens of tunnels rather than a few here or there. So far, we understand that three major tunnels have been discovered, and that this particular operation could take a number of months until it's finally completed and all of these tunnels are exposed and all of the infrastructure that's been dug underneath the border from Lebanon into Israel has been exposed. The little interesting things that go on around the edges in terms of political developments, it's interesting that UNIFIL, the United Nations force in Lebanon, which was set up specially in order to guard what's known as the Blue Line, which is the border that was set up in Resolution 1701, United Nations Resolution 1701, this force continues to police the Blue Line. They have actually acknowledged, they released a statement confirming the existence of what they call two tunnels in the general area of Matula, and they called this project a very serious matter. So this is kind of these are quite serious words that come from the United Nations, who generally speaking are quite what I would call parva on these kind of things. They don't generally like to make strong statements. So the strength of this statement is against the background of the fact that they are generally not very strong in making statements of the sort. And of course, the United Nations force in Lebanon and the United Nations in general continue to be updated and continue to have vision, have visibility of what's going on along that border. The other interesting thing is that a senior delegation of IDF officers, which was led actually by the head of the IDF's operations directorate, actually went along to Moscow to brief their Russian counterparts on what's going on Operation Northern Shield. We understand that Prime Minister Netanyahu is also expected to visit the area today to see for himself exactly what's going on. This is certainly a serious issue. And before I allow you to make your comments, I just wanted to address a comment that Ruth wrote to me. And she wanted to know why the IDF had not acted on these tunnels beforehand, given the fact that, as far as she understood, there was actually knowledge of these tunnels. Some people think as far back as 2006. And so it's a very valid question. There's been no confirmation that the IDF was aware of these tunnels, but we do know that very, very sophisticated technology is being used in order to unearth the tunnels and to discover them and to see where they are. It may well be that the tunnels were known about already for some time, and it's very difficult for us to know exactly what the IDF's strategy was behind allowing these tunnels to exist while they were known about. But I suspect that it's probably one of those strategies where the IDF really wanted to know more about the individuals who were digging the tunnels, who was calling the shots, trying to see what the chain of command was, where the building materials were coming from, to just get to discover a little bit more about how the tunnels were being constructed, rather than just go straight in and destroy them, particularly during this period when they have been considered to be not causing any risk to people. And I think that that's a critical thing, that the assessment really would have been against the risk that they were causing. And so, as we know up until now, thankfully, there's been no use of those tunnels which has caused any danger or threat to Israel. And so perhaps that strategy that they followed has been justified.
Anthony, the part I don't understand is, what is the IDF actually doing? And why are they doing it on the Israeli side of the border? And why is it taking them so long?
Well, lots of questions, but we're not being told exactly what the IDF is doing, Howard. But what we do know is that they are certainly photographing a lot of the infrastructure that's going on. And from what the reports have said, they're actually going about destroying that infrastructure on the Israeli side of the border. But again, the details are very conveniently left out, so the public is being fed enough information to feel like they are in the picture, with a lot of critical information actually being omitted. And that certainly is one of the pieces of information that we don't have a lot of detail about. Why on the Israeli side of the border? I think that's a fairly simple answer, because the moment we cross the border, we potentially create a threat. We potentially create a situation where Hezbollah and perhaps even the Lebanese army would be forced to respond in order to protect their honor, in order to show that, you know, they're not going to allow foreign forces to come across the border, even if it is to destroy terror infrastructure. So that's probably why the IDF is staying on the Israeli side of the border. And it sounds as if, though, there's enough work for them to do on the Israeli side of the border at the moment without having to cross over into Lebanon. I suspect that the moment, however, will come when the work needs to cross the border into Lebanon. But for now, at least, we know that they're staying on our side of the border. And if the decision is made to cross the border and to work on the Lebanese side, I suspect that there will be a huge increase in security along that northern border, expecting some sort of a retaliation from Hezbollah and potentially even the Lebanese army as well.
Anthony, has Lebanon responded formally to this? Yeah, it obviously must be quite embarrassing for them as a government, considering A, Hezbollah sits in parliament with them, and B, that they've allowed this this flagrant attack on another sovereign state.
Well, the Lebanese government has to be extremely cautious as to how they present themselves and what they get involved with, obviously, because the relationship with Hezbollah is so complex in Lebanon. I was somewhat amused by a comment made by the Lebanese president, Michel Aoun, which was made yesterday. And this is what he said. He said he saw no risk to peace from Israel's Operation Northern Shield. That was his comment. And he then went on to say, we certainly took this issue seriously. The presence of tunnels at the border, and Israel informed us via the United States that it does not have aggressive intentions and will continue to work on its own territory. So this is really the approach that the Lebanese government has been taking to
which is what our feeling was all the way through. And a question I put to you a few days ago was exactly that, is it seems to be that everybody's handling this like real gentlemen. On the Israeli side, they're staying on their side. Everyone's agreeing that we can destroy the tunnels, but nobody's being particularly like it's almost like they discovered
coordinated
this. Yeah, but like they discovered this act of God, and you know, like no one's responsible for it.
So as I say, the Lebanese government would not want to say anything against Hezbollah. That for sure, they wouldn't say anything against Hezbollah. What they would want to show their citizens is that, you know, there's no threat to individuals on the Lebanese side of the border as a result of the work that the IDF is doing. That's their main interest. How the tunnels got there, why they allowed Hezbollah to operate in that way, or whether they even let Hezbollah operate, why Hezbollah was given the free hand to do what they did without the intervention of the Lebanese government. All of that is kind of being ignored at the moment. And I don't think that we can realistically expect to get any answers to those questions. I think that, you know, we'll have to discover those answers for ourselves and deduce them from intelligence and from general knowledge of how things work politically in Lebanon. It's a highly complex area. It does seem like things are fairly coordinated at the moment. Hezbollah are keen to show that they're watching the IDF forces. They've released a number of statements saying, you know, that they're watching the IDF forces, trying to show the IDF forces to be a bit of a joke, showing pictures of Israeli soldiers having a cigarette and sitting and having a break on the Israeli side of the border to show their particular support groups that, you know, they're on it, that they're watching everything that's going on, that nothing will happen that will cause them any risk or threat on their side. It does seem to be very, very coordinated. But this coordination, I'm sure, is going to have to come to an end at some point, and I'm sure that things are going to escalate. But at least for the moment, as far as the IDF is concerned, what they're doing right now is going to continue for some months.
Anthony, 500,000 people have already tried their luck to solve the Shabak challenge that has been published online. What is this challenge?
Yeah. So this is a challenge which has been set up on a website called IsraelNeedsYou.com. And it's been labeled as the Shabak Challenge, and it's available to everybody and anybody who wishes to have a go at it. And this is about a challenge is people who go onto the site to identify a group of terrorists who they've called the White September Group. And this is really the Shabak's way of trying to get access to people who might be suitable in order to be involved with some of the Shabak activities, bearing in mind, of course, that the Shabak operates within Israel's borders and not outside of Israel's borders like the Mossad. That's the job of the Mossad. So the Shabak is very much the Israeli security agency that operates within the borders. But for me, the interesting thing is who's been trying to solve this puzzle. And apparently people from something like 139 countries have tried their luck. Even 83 people from Gaza have tried their luck, 3 from Iran, 3 from Saudi Arabia, and of course a whole host of people from the US, Russia, and England. So this is for me a fascinating exercise.
I'm definitely going to give it a try later.
Let's face it, the moment you log onto the Shabak's website, they've gained control of your computer. They know everything about you. It's not something I'm going to be trying.
No, I'm doing it from Zanatti's computer.
I know you guys are already intrigued by it, but what's interesting is that very, very few people have actually passed the challenge. Only apparently 27 people have passed what they call the full integrated challenge. 6 people passed the full challenge, and only 1 person has passed what's called the grave challenge. And what the Shabak is saying is that these challenges are obviously extremely difficult, and I'm sure are meant to test your ability to assess situations.
Well, there goes the rest of my day, I can tell you.
This is an interesting story, and maybe you'll log on from one of your friends' computers and give it a go.
I'm happy to log on from mine. There's not very much that is that particularly interesting and exciting. I wish it were the case. So I'm definitely, I have got 2 articles to write, and I've got to further my book today, but I think we're going to have to put all of that on hold. I know what I'm going to be doing until much, much later. It is about to go at 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Very, very intriguing. Very, very interesting. I'm assuming because it's not in the update, there's been no real significant further developments with regard to Shira and to her son.
What I've heard is that Shira's condition fortunately continues to improve. That was the latest that I heard. In terms of the baby, there hasn't been much said in the public at the moment about the condition of the baby. But we hope that no news is good news in that particular case, and that things will continue to be better both for her and for her baby. And as soon as we have anything more to talk about, we will definitely let you all know.
Thanks, Anthony. It is 8 o'clock.